How many of you are living your life at breakneck speed? Work, family life, church, and social obligations can take up all your time, leaving you feeling worn out and exhausted each and every day. And worries about health conditions, kids, or financial strains can take up every extra ounce of energy that you have. And at the end of the day, you're physically and mentally exhausted. These days, this seems to be the way of life for many of us. If you're asked the question, how are you doing? The most common, even quick answer is busy. And we wear our busyness like a badge of honor, as if it should define who we are. Thank you for joining us today. In a few moments, we'll begin our time in worship. Please stay with us following worship for more on living in the moment.
Good morning and Happy New Year. Let's stand for our first song, please. And that is what we are here to do this morning, to give praise and thanks to the one who's been so very, very good to us. We're so glad that you're here this morning. Welcome. If you're in person or online, we do want to wish you a Happy New Year. It's so good to be together on this day. I'm excited that we get to worship on the first day of the year. I'm excited that we get to share together in communion on the first day of the year. What a great way to start, and it's a blessing to be together, and we're glad that you've chosen to join us this morning. I see special extended family in our auditorium, special friends, and I know that we have members of our own who are traveling all over and enjoying the holiday weekend, but wherever you may be, it is good to be together and to focus on things that are true and good and pure this morning. We're blessed to have Scott Tillman speaking with us this morning. Scott Sager is out and traveling, so we look forward to a great sermon by Scott in just a few minutes. He may fuss at me later, and that's okay. It won't be the first time. But remember Scott in your prayers this week as he prepares for a bicep surgery. Unfortunately, that's not a surgery where they go in and just blow up your biceps and make you look great, as Scott always has. But he has a torn bicep, so let's remember him as he does that and prepares for physical therapy. I know he will come out just fine. Also want to draw your attention, I hope you saw the new bulletins as you walked in this morning. Be sure and pick up one of those. Michelle has done a fantastic job getting us something that shows our worship outline, something to put in your hand to make you aware of things going on in our church from week to week. I'm excited about that, and I want to show Michelle our appreciation for all that she's done getting this going. As we continue in worship this morning, may I read to you from 2 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Let's pray together.
Good morning. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, thank you that you are a loving, gracious God. Thank you that you have offered forgiveness and the gift of a new life in you. Thank you that your love is perfect. It never fails, and nothing can separate us from your love. God, I pray that our lives will be filled and overflowing with the power of your love. Help us to love as you love so that we can make a difference in this world. Thank you that your favor has no end, but it lasts an entire lifetime. Forgive us for sometimes forgetting that you are intimately you are intimately involved with all our ways, that you know what concerns us, and you cover us as a shield. Thank you that you make all things new. Thank you for all that you've allowed into our lives this past year, the good along with the hard things, which has reminded us how much we need you and rely on your presence filling us every single day. We pray for your Spirit to lead us each step of this new year. We ask that you will guide our decisions and turn our hearts so that we can deeply desire you above all else. We ask that you will open doors needed to be opened and that you'll close the doors that need to be shut. We ask that you would help us to release our grip on the things which you've said, no, not yet, or wait. We ask for your help to pursue you first above any other desire in our hearts. Thank you for being present here with us today, God. And may our worship be our best sacrifice of praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
How I long.
Hey! chapter 40, verse 31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let's stand for this song, please. Kenny Murphy will come direct our thoughts for the Lord's Supper this morning.
Scripture reading this morning before the Lord's Supper is taken from Acts chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking out about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you heard from me. Let's give thanks for the bread. Holy Father, we're truly grateful for the love shown to each one of us by your Son and his sacrifice. As we give thanks for this bread which represents his body, help us to examine ourselves and to remember all that you have done and that he has done for us and continue to do for us. In Christ's name, amen. Give thanks for the cup. Dear Lord, as we continue to think back to Christ and his sacrifice, we give thanks for this fruit of the vine that represents his shed blood We thank you for the tremendous mercy, grace, and love shown to all of us through his sacrifice. In Christ's name, amen.
Take this time each week to pray and to reflect about giving back. We're reminded that generosity, whether in the form of charity to other people or in the giving of tithes in our churches, is an expression of our trust in God, our confidence that He will take care of us. In Luke chapter 12, near the middle of that chapter, Luke records that Jesus tells his disciples about the parable of the rich man who, when he has a big harvest, goes and builds a bigger barn and says, I'm going to live the good life. But that night, he dies. And in a moment where you wonder, Jesus turned and looked at the disciples and thought, they're not thinking about what it's like being rich. They're thinking about what it's like being poor. And he looks at him and he says, think about the wildflowers. God takes care of them, and they're nothing compared to you. Think about the ravens. They don't have barns, and yet their needs are taken care of. And then in 12:32, in this sweet little exchange, he says, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. We're very fortunate and blessed. Our members give very generously. Most of our giving is now online and through processes that are outside of this period of time that we're gathered in the morning. But we definitely want to take this time and pray. We want to express our gratitude to God for all that He's given us, our gratitude of the blessings of our members, whether that's through material giving or through acts of service. If you'd like to make a gift now, There are instructions on the slide behind me on how you can do that. Let's pray. Good Father, we just pray that we can trust you in 2023 more than we did in 2022. That where there are pockets of unbelief, that you will help us believe. That where this church and its members worry, that we can let go of that worry and we can fill it up with trust in you. Because you've proven yourself, God, over and over and over again. You've blessed us in so many ways. We're so grateful to be part of a congregation that is so generous. But we're also aware that there's so much to be done to spread your word around the world, to address the needs of those who are suffering, to make sure that the name of Jesus is glorified and glorified and glorified. God, for the giving that has taken place and takes place now, we thank you and we pray that you will direct those gifts to their highest and best purposes, to your glory, your kingdom. For those who lead and serve here in roles public and private, formal and informal, we pray that you will renew their strength. We thank you most of all for the most generous gift of all, the gift of Jesus Christ. And it's in his holy name we pray, amen.
Over.
Our scripture before the lesson is Acts chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.
If you have a worship program, you will see that we're supposed to be singing the new song today for a new year. My buddy Scott Tillman is preaching for us this morning, and that's going to be a spiritual high, and he's going to follow that up by having
surgery, and that's not going to be a spiritual high. And so I have chosen to change to his favorite song, How Can I Keep From Singing Your Praise? I invite you to stand as we sing this song before his lesson.
Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. Can you believe 2023? It's here. Have you thought about this? The years seem to fly by. Well, some may say, really? Do they really fly by? I want you to consider this. The older you get, really, the years go faster. And you're going, well, Scott, they're the same time. No, think about this for a second. The older you get, the smaller of a percentage each year becomes. Thus, actually, going faster. And so the older I get, I really do think about each year as it has gone by, as where did the time go? Can you believe here we are on the first day of the year, 2023. What a blessing it is for us to come together today to worship the Lord, as Jeff Wilson said, on this day, the beginning of a new year. It seems like each year, as we start the new year, it's a time of reflection, of inventory, if you will. It's time to look back. And maybe you've watched some things this week as it's put the year in review, and maybe you've thought about, oh, I remember that now. Oh, has it been that long ago? Or has it only been that long ago? But as we think about 2023, what does the Lord have in store for us? What good things do the Lord have in store for us? What things will be difficult in 2023? And can we praise His name in both? Jeff was not supposed to tell that I do have surgery on Friday on my right arm. I'm not looking forward to that. I guess that's a really duh moment. Yes, I'm not looking forward to that because I am right-handed and I'm right-handed dominant. And so I'm going to have to learn how to deal with not having the use of my right arm. And I've been a little down about it, to be honest with you, at first because I thought, you know, God, what are you trying to teach me here? 11 years ago, I had the exact same surgery on my left arm. It doesn't seem like that was quite as big of a deal because I'm not left-handed. But Lord, what are you trying to teach me in this? Can there be something that can be good from this outcome? You know, I've even told myself, you know, I'm thankful that it wasn't much worse. I'm thankful that I didn't break a bone or do something worse, but only the muscle that can be repaired. But it's still difficult, isn't it? It's still hard to go through those difficult times. It's hard to wait, isn't it? I've known I'm going to be preaching on the first day of the year for quite some time now, and I really try to think about what does our audience, what does our church need to hear? What do I need to hear when I prepare to speak to you each time? And so I've been really thinking about this for quite a while, of what can I present to our congregation that will be uplifting, inspiring, and hopefully bring them maybe even some joy in the reassurance that God is with us all the time. And so I've been prayerful about that. And at first I was like, well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what I need to preach about. What could I bring to them that will really bring some value to their being here today and hearing what I have to say as we worship the Lord? The holidays have come, and it was pretty obvious that travel has been difficult. And the Lord put it on my heart exactly what I needed to talk about. We're going to talk about waiting on the Lord this morning. And I've titled the sermon this morning, While You Wait. Peyton Mowell, who's been visiting with us for several months now, was going home to Dallas, Texas just before Christmas. She needed a ride to the airport, and so Nathan Pugh, our good children's minister, said, I can take you after work. I'm going that way to my house. And so it was right before the snow hit, and they were a little concerned about the road, so Nathan left a little earlier from church that day, and he picked up Peyton, and he took her to the airport. She had a 7 o'clock flight, but it's okay. There's a lot to do at the airport, and waiting on a flight's not that difficult normally. She'll get through the check. She'll do all the things that she needs to do, maybe even sit down and have a decent meal before she has to get on her flight for that 7 o'clock departure time. Sure enough, Nathan picks her up. He drops her off, and she starts the process. Well, soon after she had arrived, she realized that her flight had been delayed. That's okay. This particular airline is one that we fly often, and they're pretty trustworthy. It's going to be okay. You're going to be able to get a flight. It won't be a problem. Pretty soon, it seems like there's another delay. But finally, she was able to board her flight. She was going to go home and see her parents and her family and celebrate the holidays with them. And she's on her flight, and we're prayerful and excited that she'll get to go and see them and come back soon. To which we get another call that they're asking them to exit the plane, that it can't take off. So her arriving at the airport around 2:30 in the afternoon soon became an ordeal, where she had to change actually the airline that she was using and got to fly out the next morning at 6 a.m. after spending the entire night in the airport. Waiting is difficult, isn't it? I think that waiting on the Lord may be one of the most difficult things Christians have to do. When Jesus promised that he would return to his disciples about to be apostles, he instructed his followers to wait. That's easier said than done, isn't it? Jesus, we've been with you for 3 years. We've seen you perform miracles. We've seen you be arrested. We've seen you be beaten. We've seen you be hung upon a cross. And we've seen you die. Only to be incredibly surprised that death couldn't hold you. That you rose 3 days later. And now these 40 days have been incredible as you've spoke to us and you've encouraged us. And now you ask us to wait. Well, why wait? What do we do while we wait? All of us know the difficulty of waiting, whether it's at an airport like Peyton had to experience, or maybe a traffic jam on an interstate, or maybe at that traffic light, or maybe at the doctor's office, or maybe at the grocery store in the checkout line, or maybe while you're praying for a meaningful relationship, or you're praying for a promotion at work, or maybe even as you wait to retire. All of us understand the difficulty of waiting. But waiting isn't something we have to do while we are sitting and waiting for something we want. Waiting is the process. Waiting is the process of becoming what God wants us to become. What God does in us while we wait is just as important as what we're waiting for. Waiting for the Lord is not a passive time. While we anticipate what might happen, it doesn't mean we do nothing. It doesn't mean that we won't have to face difficult times or things along the way. I've thought about since 2020 and the pandemic of COVID, a lot of us have had difficulty with understanding what waiting's about. What do we do? A lot have decided to wait and almost isolate. We were instructed to do so, but I wonder if it's time for that waiting to be over. I wonder if it's time for God to call us to wait by working. I wonder if it's time that God has called us to wait by being together, by encouraging, by fellowshipping, by being around others, by being the Jesus Christ that this world could know if they've never experienced him before. I wonder if our waiting really isn't more our going. I wonder why Satan put this upon us in the first place. God didn't create COVID. I think Satan wanted Christians to stop their work. I wonder if it's time for us to go back to work in 2023. Those who wait are to work, and we realize that our work isn't in vain. The farmer can wait all summer for his harvest because he's put the work in. He's planted. He's watered. But that doesn't mean his work is completed. That doesn't mean he doesn't fertilize and weed and water some more. That doesn't mean he doesn't prepare his equipment for the harvest time. Those who wait on God can be confident that God will provide meaning to their labor. In working while we wait, we can be sure that God is also working, and oftentimes bringing us to conclusion that we didn't see or expect. It's time to work, church. It's time to be a light in this community. Waiting is working with confidence that we will reap the reward. I love Galatians 6:9. It's hung in our house for many, many years. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap the harvest if we do not give up. Here in Acts 1, we see Jesus tell his disciples to wait. But there was a purpose in their waiting. They were about to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit. They were about to witness the beginning of the church and to become agents to help that church to grow. And so this morning, for Michael Webb's pleasure, I want to give you 3 points. Number one, waiting on the Lord requires patient trust. Think about James chapter 5, verse 8. You also must be patient. Keep your hopes high. I probably ought to highlight that in my Bible while I wait. For the day of the Lord is coming near. Waiting doesn't mean that God is giving up or that you're giving up on God. It's that we're giving God the benefit of knowing that he's working behind the scenes. During the difficult times, God's doing things that we're not sure of, but we can be positive that he's doing. Waiting is God's way of seeing if we trust him before he moves forward. Whether it has to do with our relationships or our finances or our careers or our dreams or even here at our church, we have to trust God knows what he's doing. And he knows what he's doing better than we know what we're doing. So not only does waiting on the Lord require patient trust, number two, waiting on God reminds us that God is in control. If you have your Bible out, I'd love for you to turn to Psalm 130. Psalm 130. This is a great passage, I think, that will help us understand what we're to do while we wait. There in verses 5 and 6, it says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. And in his word, I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. During those waiting times, it's not a passive time. During those waiting times, God has called us to be watchmen. You know what it was like to be a watchman in the biblical days. They would stay up at night to make sure that everyone was protected, to watch in case of enemies approaching. No matter what a watchman did, he couldn't speed up the process. No matter what the watchman did, the night would have to finish, would have to come to its fruition for the dawning of a new day. They would just have to wait as they watched, as they were there to see and protect, as they were an agent for their people. They had to wait for the sun to come up. They had to stay ready. They didn't make anything happen. They didn't control the sun. But God gave them a job. Waiting reminds me that I'm not in charge, as much as I wish I were sometimes. But when I really think about it, I'm glad that I'm not. I'm the patient in the waiting room, waiting on the doctor who knows what to do. And no matter how much I try to persuade him that I don't need surgery, he knows better. He could look at the MRI, but doc, I feel great. I'm fine. I remember Dr. Elrod, who will be doing the surgery on Friday, looked at me and said, I'm not going to ask if this hurts because I know you won't tell me the truth. I've heard it said that people who wait on God loses no time. Waiting reminds me that I am not God. And that sounds simple, but that is profound. I like to fix things. I want to be able to fix my problems, my relationships, my conflicts, my career. From time to time, I have to be reminded that I'm not God. My job is to be a watchman. So many times I want to fix it with my own resources, my money, my knowledge, my strength, my work ethic. I think God laughs at those thoughts. And finally, number three, waiting on the Lord allows God to do His work. Not only do I want to do God's work, oftentimes, I also want to speed up the process. Don't you? This morning I was looking on the counter and I saw some bananas. And you look at these bananas and one is more visually appealing. This one looks pretty much flawless, like you expect a banana to look. But it's green around the top. This banana, if we opened it, would taste like a banana. But it wouldn't be fully ripe. It wouldn't be as sweet as it could be. It still needs a little time to become as good as it's meant to be. But this banana, it looks pretty rough. The outward exterior looks beaten and bruised. It looks like it's gone through a hard time, doesn't it? But it's this banana that will reveal the sweetest fruit. It's this banana that's prepared and ready to be consumed. Or for any of you ladies that like to make me banana bread, I'll leave it here on the front for you to do so. I think about this. So many times we worry about what we look like on our exterior, not realizing that God hasn't finished the interior. But our exterior may be bruised and scarred. But that's when God has brought to completion the interior. Waiting on the Lord, God's timing is best. The sweetest of the fruit can only be experienced when we wait for God to do what He's doing on the inside of the peel. The peel looks beat up, damaged. It's only through the process that it's ready to be consumed. Listen to this passage from the Old Testament, Habakkuk 2, verses 1 through 3. I will stand at my guard post and station myself on the outlook tower. I will watch to see what He will say to me and what I should reply about my complaint. The Lord answered me, write down this vision. Clearly inscribed it on the tablets so that one may easily read it. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It testifies about the end and will not lie. Though it delays, wait for it, since it will certainly come and it will not be late. God is working. During those times we wait patiently on the Lord, we know that deep down He is working. While it may be underneath, hidden deep in my character, in due time, God will reveal what He has grown inside of us. Those who wait will never be put to shame. We will never be disappointed. But those who trust in the Lord shall renew their strength. They will soar like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. The time will come when those who wait on the Lord will soar. Aren't you ready to soar in 2023? If we can help you in this process as you look forward to working for the Lord while you wait, why don't you come while we stand and sing?
Would you be free from the burden? Asked Randy Harris one time, "Brother Harris, how many points must a good sermon have?" And he said, "Let's shoot for one." I'm a one-point guy. I really appreciate your lesson today. My point for you is this. This is the first day of a brand new year. And let's resolve this year to make this a wonderful year in our church family. Michelle has printed out these worship programs for us, and on here are the new classes starting this Wednesday night. I want to encourage all of you to come be part of a Wednesday night class. Rhett Johnson, right over here, is over our adult education. He's put together a great list of classes for us. And on the back side, places and ways to get involved. Pick up one of these when you leave. Pray over it. Think about it. And let's put these to action. Thank you so much for being here. We'll sing one more song and then we'll be dismissed in prayer.
I want to be your bird.
been so wonderful to start this year here with our brothers and sisters in Christ, worshiping you in spirit and in truth. And may we all be blessed as we leave this place by the lesson that Scott preached, by the songs that we've been edified by the prayers that have reached up to you to be your shining lights in this community. Father, we pray for many of our number that are traveling and getting back to us and how difficult that's been. And we continue to pray for Nathan, for Anna, for James, for Whitney, and for Ella May on their trip out to Colorado at the workshop that they're attending. And may they learn wonderful things to bring back for our youth. Father, may our resolution this year be to answer the call that you're putting on our heart. Whatever that is, Father, help us to listen to your voice. Follow it to greatness. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
So, how are you doing? The more common answer than not is busy. Hello, everyone. I'm Ronnie Ferris, an elder here at the Church of Christ in Green Hills. Thank you for joining us today as we turn the calendar to a new year. Perhaps you are like many who've made New Year's resolutions, even have a well-intentioned resolution to be less busy in 2023. When we fill our lives with this busyness, worry can take its toll on us and on our physical and emotional health. Many times it takes an extreme event to snap us out of the busy fog, like a tragic loss or the death of a loved one. That helps us realize that there's more to life. But you shouldn't wait until something extreme happens to start living in the moment. So, what exactly does it mean to live in the moment? Living in the moment is not fretting about the past or worrying about what might happen in the future. That only robs us of the present. It's focusing on what's happening right now, which is really the only thing that we can partially control anyway. It's cutting out the things that are unimportant in life and focusing on the things that truly matter and bring us joy. Studies show that people who focus on seeking those pleasurable things in the moment tend to live happier lives than those who are focused on the past. And those that take the time to notice more of the small things and enjoy the simple pleasures of life are happier and often more productive. But what does the Bible say about living in the moment? One thing it says, focus on now. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And you can find this in Matthew 6:34. When we focus on the past, those tend to go past hurts and fears or conversations that include, I should have, I could have, or I didn't. God's Word directs us to the present. Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. Isaiah 43:18. Another way to live in the moment, practice gratitude. When we live in the moment, we give ourselves the opportunity to practice gratitude. We can retrain our brains to find good, and when we do, our happiness level goes up. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Found in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. When we live in the moment, we tend to focus on the good things that God has placed before us, and those bring a sense of peace. Next, do less. We need to give ourselves the permission to do less, permission to slow down. Better one handful of tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chase after the wind, Ecclesiastes 4:6. And then, stop multitasking. Even though we often convince ourselves we can actually multitask, I'm not so sure we do it so well. In a sense, I believe we've convinced ourselves that great progress is being made, but perhaps the only progress is more busyness. Multitasking is a living in the moment killer. And Colossians 3:23 reminds us, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Now, there are times when we must attempt multitasking, but it's better when we can give our full attention to one task at a time. Eliminating distractions will help us remain focused. Living in the moment has always been challenging, and it always will be. If you think about this, isn't it really what Satan wants us to do anyway? So, how's living in the moment going for you? Are you finding this task a daily challenge? Would you like to reach out to someone to discuss how this is going for you? I encourage you to contact us at elders@cocgh.org. We'll be happy to talk with you. And in the meantime, I encourage you to take another look at the words spoken by Jesus in Matthew 6, beginning in verse 25. His words will align your focus, placing your priorities in the proper order. Until next time, Happy New Year and happy living in the moment.